Hi, this is Christian Buckley. I'm the Managing Director Americas for GT Consult.
And I'm Craig Tarr, the CEO of GT Consult based out of South Africa.
And we're here on talking about module 3 of our session, Managing SharePoint on-prem versus online. And now we're going to go through some of the basic or not so basic admin capabilities of the new SharePoint Online experience. And then we're going to go through and demo a couple of the use cases that are going to be critical to your management going forward.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about the management platform and some of the common admin tasks. Now, not all of these are actually within the admin module itself. Some of them are actually on the site, so we'll be going over some of that. And quite importantly, looking at governance within your environment.
Right. So we're going to start things off on the monitoring and message center side of things. The message center is really kind of the center of the admin experience. To be very aware, now that you are working closely with Microsoft as your farm level admin, to understand what's happening on the platform, what changes could impact your end user experience, being aware of those, taking the necessary actions against those things.
And I think definitely understanding Microsoft's roadmap as well as to what new features might be coming out.
Yeah, we're actually going to talk about the roadmap just briefly, point you to where to go to take a look. It's a great point. It's critical that you keep up on what changes are happening. Because development of SharePoint Online is happening at the speed of the cloud, there are a lot of changes that are being introduced, certainly on the admin side of things, making it a much more robust experience. So you want to stay up to date on the changes as they come through. So one of the things that is within the cloud experience is the Office 365 Service Communications API. So being able to go in and set up the communications that you want, and I know that for a managed service provider like GT Consult, this is critical to the services that we provide to our customers. So maybe this is a little more on the partner perspective for some of this. I mean, certainly internally, you have the ability to go in and utilize these data points that are coming out, this data that's coming from the system, and setting up your alerting.
Yeah, so I think especially as a vendor, but also as your site administrator, you might need to answer questions on the real-time health of the system. Tell anyone about any of the communications that might be coming through or any of the outages that might be had, and really plan around those.
So we communicate all of that via Yammer, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Assuming it's up.
Of course it's up.
It's always
Yammer,
up.
I know, it's always up. Come on, Greg. All right, from the partner perspective, and I know there's a lot of partners, both in the ISV and the SI front, that are even independent consultants that are managing aspects of SharePoint Online. And I think that's going to become increasingly common, is for somebody other than your staff managing your Office 365 environment, if not just the SharePoint Online components.
Yeah, so in terms of that, we've got our own special console as a vendor partner where we can log on and actually become delegated admins of your own system and make any of the relevant changes.
And Microsoft understands that that's the direction and that one of the strongest partner growth areas is around managed services. So they're designing a lot of this capability to enable partners to be able to do that. Especially if it's a partner that has multiple customers, being able to go in there and see, the health of each of those customers within their console.
Yeah, we're not going to take you through all of that partner administration, but essentially it just gives you that dashboard to show you what's happening in any of the environments, as well as engage with that client, make calls for them on behalf of them to Microsoft support, that kind of thing.
Right. All right, some of the common scenarios, and I know, Craig, you're going to go through a few of these things, but being able to shape what your end users' experience is like inside of SharePoint Online is an important part of the admin tasks, kind of the common tasks.
So in terms of the settings, obviously, the ability to show certain aspects of Office 365 and whether you want to enable them. Things like Yammer, which we just brought up, do you actually want to integrate that into your Office 365 experience, or would you rather stay with the usual news feeds? Other areas that you could look at is whether you actually want people to share the information on OneDrive or not. And those are the types of controls that we're going to show you in terms of the top navigation.
You know, external collaboration is an important part of the cloud story. And I know that it's one of those criticisms of SharePoint Online is unless a person has a profile that's inside SharePoint, you know, you're essentially forcing, you know, if you do not have an extranet solution built out, you're forcing people to kind of go around the collaboration platform, which you've put in place in the first place, to put those security measures in place. And so one of the, it's an important aspect of the SharePoint Online experience is being able to externally share, but you as an admin still need to have some degree of control over what can be shared by whom.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at OneDrive as an example and the ability to share out any document within your organization without authentication, you could have some serious governance issues there. So managing that as a administrator is obviously of utmost importance. But at the same time, I think Office 365 has made external sharing a whole lot easier. The old SharePoint 2010, where you needed an external license and to set up, was an absolute nightmare. They've made it so much easier through this console.
Right. And then you brought up in the last module a little bit about managing your app catalog. Oh, I forgot to remove the builds. But managing your app catalog, so you know how you're making apps available to your organization. I'm just going to go and populate these. And I know that this is increasingly important as organizations start to expand on the capability that they may have had on-prem through the app model and going and developing point solutions by team or purchasing third-party solutions and tools. So being able to manage that from an admin perspective.
Yeah, so in terms of your users being allowed to use apps, the app catalog essentially allows you to limit what they have access to. So you can start populating your own app catalog, whereas if you don't start creating that app catalog, they have access to anything on the SharePoint store, which you might not necessarily want.
You know, this is interesting. I know we don't have slides on it. We can talk about it, but what Microsoft did internally, so Microsoft IT, actually have a very robust and mature governance process specifically for app review. So they've tried to make it very quick and easy turnaround as employees within Microsoft developed various app solutions that they want to deploy on for their team site or make available company-wide for this review process. And so hopefully we're going to hear more about this in the coming months from Microsoft. I know that Microsoft IT is out. Certain leaders have shared insights into what they've learned from that process. But this is one of those experiences where we didn't have the volume of these kinds of internally developed or externally purchased apps added to our on-prem SharePoint experiences, but is part of the new cloud experience. You need to think about these things to extend the capability of the cloud. It's through the app model. And so you need to have some kind of governance process in place to review those things in a timely manner. Otherwise, it's going to impact how end users view the overall system.
So one of the things that we need to remember are the boundaries and limitations within SharePoint. This is not only in SharePoint on-prem, but also in SharePoint Online, and probably more pertinent in SharePoint Online. Some of them are fixed boundaries, and some of them are thresholds that you can play around with and extend.
Another reason why you want to have the detailed analytics on who's actually using what within your environment so that you can obviously give them the resources that they need and take it from those that are not really using the platform.
And obviously, you can extend your environment. So things like adding additional storage, there's a cost involved with that over and above what's already provisioned for you in your Office 365 tenant. But also looking at everything from whether you allow people to build their own subsites to how big you're allowing file uploads. But in context of all of that, let's move over to the demo and actually see some of this in practice.
Yep.
So the first demo we're going to take you through is actually looking at the Office 365 Admin Center. And this is essentially where our dashboard is, which shows us our health of any of the services. The first is the service health, which shows you any of our Office 365 services and what health they might have with simple indicators next to them. But what Christian was alluding to earlier was the message center, where it tells me any of the updates that are coming through. So I can see here updates to the clutter feature. Ooh, update the features for Office 365 admin app For iOS, Android, and for Windows Phone. Now, that's pretty interesting. Let me go and have a look at that. So I can click through and find some more details. I've actually already got it open here because I saw that earlier.
Yes.
And you can see here that they're updating the Office 365 experience for administrators on your mobile device. So there straight away, you're getting some great functionality in terms of an app that they've built using the admin console for Office 365 and making it as easy as a mobile admin. Yep. We can go sit on the beach now and start adminning any of our clients' environments.
Already there.
Yeah. So coming back to the Office 365 Admin Center, we're showing you the SharePoint Online admin earlier. Now, how do we get there? Well, you'll notice that we have a scroll bar with all of our menu items running down the left-hand side of the page. And underneath admin, we have SharePoint. So I'm going to click through onto that. And this takes us to our specific SharePoint Online administration view, which we went through in Module 2. So some of the things that we talked about there were around settings. In the slides, it showed you the ability to manage your settings based on or your toolbar navigation settings based on the top navigation experience. Now, in the old Office 365 look and feel, you would have found all of these links up at the top here, and I think they were just running out of real estate. So now you'll see in the top corner, we've actually got this waffle.
The waffle.
What they call the waffle, which is a drop-down menu with any of your accessibility.
It's officially called the app launcher, but yes, lovingly referred to as the waffle.
Yeah. So here you'll see access to any of the applications that I might have access to, such as admin. So we were talking about the partner experience, you'll have another block which says partner on that. Now, the ability to hide and show these is provided with the top navigation bar user experience. So we can hide OneDrive for Business, we can show the Yammer news feeds, we can also show any of the sites that we can start following. We had the ability here to change to the use an advanced or use a simple administration center. And then if we come down to the bottom, we have things like allowing custom scripts on sites or allowing preview features or accessing, enabling the accessibility to apps.
Yeah, that's really important because depending again on your organization, I mean, to have that preview capability, you're going to see the latest, greatest things. And like Delve is a great experience that was part of the preview experience. Before it was broadly rolled out. So if you have enabled with part of the preview program to be able to take a look at some of those capabilities as they're made available.
Yeah. Now, under the site collections, we've got the ability to create our site collections, and we spoke about some of the boundaries and limitations. So obviously, your tenant is provided with a certain amount of storage space, and you're also provided with a certain amount of resources. Now, once you start creating your site collections, you'll notice that these start getting used. And you'll notice what percentage gets used. Now, when we create those site collections, we can actually put down a quota and a reminder that tells us exactly when this should tell us that we're running out of space. But we do have the ability to go and buy more space. So we can go and buy
storage space. You get those alerts via that new app, Craig?
Yes.
Yeah, excellent.
And we can go and add in a new subscription for additional space within our tenant. One of the things that you'll notice when you do start getting these alerts is that you'll have a small icon pop up in the top corner. We don't have any of those, luckily, at the moment. Yep. But anything from when your subscriptions are running out to when information's running out, it will automatically alert you of that information. The last thing I'm going to show you in the demo is the ability now to create an app catalog. Now, the app catalog is essentially another site collection or within your tenant that allows you to distribute apps not only for SharePoint but for your entire Office experience. So if you're using an Office Premium Suite or Office 2013, you might have the ability to add in certain apps there. You can make requests for specific apps and also upload apps straight into this app environment. So if you go to a third-party vendor's site, so here as an example, we've got the Yammer app that has been uploaded into our tenant and now will be available to anyone using that that tenant.
So here's where you can insert a workflow, some kind of governance process, so as people submit, you know, different things, that it could go through a review cycle before it's made available.
Yeah, but luckily tying people down that they can only use the apps that you've approved within your environment.
Yep, that is a key.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to jump back over. One other area we want to cover is the very important topic of governance. And so we've seen some of the examples, some of the tools we're going to show here in a second, you know, a couple demos. But you know, this is you have the service level capabilities and the customer controls are really the two levels around that. Of course, there's a lot of information that's available, heavy on the governance content out there, both in the community and the Microsoft site. So you can dig into recommendations for you know governance and stronger policies that are out of the box. So you can build out to meet your unique customer needs. But so you need to have your requirements, those constraints documented and prioritized and understood, go into the center and understand what can now be built inside of SharePoint online.
Yeah, I think auditing was really put onto steroids when suddenly e-discovery came part of the solution in 2010. And now you've got that ability to really tie down and monitor item level specifics. So we'll be going over some of that in terms of searching for sensitive data as an example.
So Microsoft has talked a lot about the data loss prevention capabilities, you know, a lot about the discovery of content on there. So you have some, again, part of that streamlined experience to be able to go in, search on specific activities, certain sensitive data types, and find that information very, very quickly. And then also creating those information management policies, which, you know, we could just jump right into the demo and kind of show some of those examples.
Okay, great. So I'm firstly going to go across to my Legal Discovery Center. This is essentially a e-discovery site that has been set up. And essentially, you can create a new case for anything that you might want to track. But I'm going to go into an existing case there that has been set up for me. And there are a whole lot of actions here which I can start looking at identification and hold, search and export, etc. So let's have a look at one of the e-discovery sets. And as I said to you before, some of your management is not necessarily in your admin console, but actually on the sites themselves, and this is one of them. So as an example here, we could set up an e-discovery set, and I might be looking for credit card information. As part of my filter, I'm looking for sensitivity type, and you'll have a whole lot of syntax around that that you can go and find help on. But let's say, for example, I was looking for a credit card or a social security number as an example. You can start building those filters in, putting in a start date and end date, and start tracking the specific information within your organization, which from a legal standpoint becomes quite prevalent in terms of that that governance. Coming across to our Contoso team site, I don't know, I've never heard of this organization
before. I know.
We click on the site settings.
Might be a South African company.
It could be. On the site settings, you'll notice now if you're new to administration and you're a site collection administrator, that you have a new panel, not new to any of you who've been a site collection administrator before, but essentially giving you the ability to start managing everything from search to site collection, audit settings to, well, we asked about content type policy templates. So let's go and have a look at content type policy templates as an example. We've got to go and create one here. And we can create a policy. Let's call this policy our legal documentation. So for any legal documentation, I might have some specific policies such as enabling retention. So you can imagine here, if you wanted to archive any of your data, you might have a specific legal compliance that you need to adhere to that says you need to keep your data for 5 years. So we're going to add a retention stage.
Yeah, I do like that just above that, the policy statement as well. So
yep.
You know, as they The lack of adherence to that, you know, the actual policy statement appears on the screen for them as well.
Yeah. The nice thing here, though, is with these policies, you're actually enforcing them. So if we have a look at, as an example here, of the wanting to archive, we can say this stage is kicked off after the created date plus 5 years. So we're storing the data for 5 years. We can then move it to the recycle bin. We can permanently delete it. We can start a workflow that might actually provide a review or an approval of that document, or declare it as a record, move it to a record set, whatever you really need to do. Based on that, there is also, if, for instance, there's a review, you could repeat this every 2 years after that or 5 years after that, just depending on what it is that you want to do. Some of the other policies that we have here is enabling auditing. So very important for our audit reports is checking when items are edited, when they're checked in and out, when they're moved or deleted.
Yeah, I think we actually skipped by in the last two slides, you know, the audit log events that I've got outlined here, as well as the available audit reports. And obviously, there are things that you can do to extend these. Feedback that you can provide to Microsoft if you feel that there are certain key things which are missing from that experience. So for those that download the slides, you can get these quick lists as well.
And I'll come through that audit information now and show you exactly where we check that out. In terms of things like barcodes or enabling labels across your documents, quite easy to go and set up here. As an example, just choosing a font, a size for that font, give it 2 inches by 6, and go and refresh it, and I can see the actual labels that are going to be put against my documentation. So a whole lot of policies that you can set up there specifically for documentation within the site. Let's go and have a look at our site settings then. And you were asking earlier about those audit log reports. Mm-hmm. So we can open up the audit log reports. And you can see here all of those types of reports that can be automatically generated for you at runtime by saying, OK, well, show me any of the content viewing or any deletions that have happened, policy modifications, expiry, et cetera. So there are a whole lot of reports here. They will export for you into Excel format, which is really Microsoft's old and new way of presenting data. Any of the BI data that you see within Office 365 and Power BI is all in Excel. So really pushing information out into Excel and producing those reports for you.
Yeah. All right, so just to summarize what we covered in the module, so the SharePoint admin experience has been greatly streamlined within the online experience. And it's critical to go, and again, can't emphasize this enough, of documenting what your governance policies look like today and understanding what that looks like, especially if you're in a hybrid environment or even have a transition period where you will be maintaining online and on-prem assets, that you look at how you'll manage governance between those two environments. But it's going to reduce a lot of work and effort and concern if you have those documented up front.
But also remembering that your governance can be granular enough that it's specifically aimed at a specific department. So because you're doing that setup in the site itself, you can have different rules across different sites.
And that's critical to not treat site collections all the same, different teams, different rules. And so in module 4, we're going to cover some of the common admin issues in the new console, actually show you how we go in and solve some of those things that we covered in module 1. So hopefully you'll stick around for module 4.
See you then.